Hallelujah, he's risen.
Often thought as the disciples, as word began to travel, maybe they thought surely he was dead. And they had seen his bloody frame taken down from the cross and buried in a tomb. And when word got back that he was risen, they probably thought, what kind of shape is he really in? The beating that he took. And then the word came, he's alive and walking on Galilee's shore. What a joy that must have filled their heart. What a joy fills my heart. I thought just now, a year ago, on Easter, it was raining, and we couldn't have a parking lot service, and it was me and Michelle and just a few brothers in here filming and doing the song service. And a year later, we've got a full house, and boy, God's been good to us. Amen, he sure has. In way of announcements, I'll go ahead and tell you, if you try to get a hold of me in the next, through the week, every time I'd go get my medicine, this pharmacist buddy of mine kept trying to get me to come work. And anyway, I decided, talking to the doctor and the therapist, and they said it'd be good for my body and mind both. So a few days a week, I am working part-time. So if any of you message me or call me, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. It's just a part-time thing to sort of keep my mind occupied and get my body back where it needs to be. But anyway, I thought I'd go ahead and let you know that. But if you want to turn with me to Genesis chapter 8, you might say that's a strange thing on Easter Sunday, but maybe it won't be by the time it's over. It seems I've had this message on my heart for a few weeks now, and there was a time I didn't know if I would be able to continue to do this and to pastor. I was reading a little old fiction book one day, a few weeks ago, and I just said, Lord, not my will, not Michelle's will, not even the will of the church, but let your will be done. And I said, I just need a dove. I just need a dove. And that's what we're going to read in just a moment, that Noah needed a dove. And that little old fiction book, I just stopped reading and prayed that simple little prayer. And about two pages over, it had no bearing in the story. It wasn't an integral part of the story. But I flipped the page about two pages over and began to read. And it said that there was a man holding his hand and holding a dove. And I thought, ain't that something that God can answer a simple prayer? In the words of a book that had nothing to do with Noah or a dove. But just about the time I prayed that, I got a dove. And so I told him, I'll try. If you'll keep my body healthy and my mind strong enough, I'll try. But in the 8th chapter of the book of Genesis, it says, And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Again he sent forth a dove. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand, and took her, and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth a dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the face of the earth. And I'll stop right there. Now begin to think, as it was mentioned a while ago about the God on the mountain and the God in the valley, that Noah had went for months, probably without ever hearing from God. All he knew was God brought him and his family into the ark, and God shut the door, and no doubt the ark had been tossed about on the waves, and the waters, the Bible said, came up. They didn't only come down from above, but the depths were broken up, and they came up from the earth as well. And so the waters covered the earth, and Noah was there in the ark with his family. He could feel the rocking of it. He was safe. But it had probably been, he stayed in that ark a year, and it had probably been 5 or 6 months, and he'd heard anything that we know of from God. And so I like the way that it mentions that God remembered Noah. Now let me stop right there and say that God does remember you and your trouble. You might go days without hearing His voice. You might go weeks sometimes without feeling what you like to feel inside. But God does remember the covenant with you. I thought about this that I'd read once where the Bible says that the Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness after He is baptized. And the Spirit led him out to be tempted of the devil. And so we pray, lead us not into temptation. And I said that to say this, there may be times in life that God will allow you to be led into temptation. And there may be times where you go through dry spells. There may be times where you just wonder what life all means. And I'm talking about the believer. You might think that God has forgotten about you, but God remembered Noah, and God will remember you. And so it said God remembered Noah, and He caused the wind to begin to blow, and the waters begin to assuage. And I want to get down to the point. I won't keep you long. I know you've got Easter to get to and all of that. But this is what Easter is all about. It's about the Son of God. You can have the Easter bunny. I don't have a problem with that. As long as you remember it's not about the bunny, it's about the Lamb today. It's about the Lamb of God that did come. But God remembered Noah, and the Bible says that He sent a raven out. And he had a window, but I don't know if he could see very far out of it. And he sent forth the raven. And I thought about this a few different ways. The raven is a sort of a carnivore. He could find rest on the carcasses. You might say, preacher, that's awful. I'm not trying to be gross this morning, but it is what it is. The waters killed every living thing in the sea, or every living thing on the earth, and every fowl. Everything was dead except what was in the ark of safety. And so the raven could find rest on the carcasses, maybe, that he had found floating. And it said he just went to and he went fro. But there was a dove that got sent out. And the Bible said the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. I don't know how far she flew, how far she made it, but I'll say this. As a child of God, there are times when you might want to stretch your wings and fly out into this world. But if you are truly, absolutely, positively born again of God, you'll fly for a while, but there'll be no place you'll ever find rest, dear friend. There'll be no place you'll find rest for the sole of your foot in this world. Solomon was we know he was a sinner. I believe he was also a saint. He was sort of an allegory, or he was sort of one that we ought to take notice of. He said, I didn't withhold anything from me. In other words, anything that I wanted, I had the pleasure to, had the means and the money to pleasure myself with all of that. He said, in the end, I found it all to be nothing but vanity. That's all that it was. And so for a time you might be led out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. For a time you might stretch forth your wings. But I truly believe that those that have said they've been born again of God and never ever come back to Him, I don't think they ever had anything to start with. I believe that dove is a representation there of the true child of God. We may get out for a while. I don't know. He couldn't find any place to rest. I've read Josephus and some other people who say that when that dove came back, he was filled with slime and the mire. You may say, preacher, I've been gone too long. I'll say to you today, you can get dirty in this world, but if you've been born again, you'll realize finally there's nothing out there for you. There's nothing out in this world for you. I'm not saying you don't enjoy life. We're supposed to do that, but you'll not find any rest for the sole of your foot until you come back into the ark of safety. And that Bible says the dove came back. In other words, I believe she had flew as far as she could go. I believe she was just about to drop out of the sky. But the Bible says Noah stretched forth his hand and he brought her back in with all the mire and all the muck and all the slime that she might have had on her. And that's the way God is. Just as He did with that prodigal son, He'll draw you back into a place and to Himself. I'm glad today. I've tried. I'll be honest with you. There's been times since I've been saved. I've got out. I've stretched forth my wings. But I had no liberty to go out and sin like I once did. I really had no desire to go out and do that. But from time to time, that's the way it is. I'll say to you this morning, maybe you're here on Easter, and maybe you don't. I'm not trying to fuss at you this morning. I'm glad that you're here, but I'm trying to help you. Maybe you come at Christmas and at Easter and Mother's Day. I'll say to you today that you'll find no rest until you come back, and you come back with all your heart and all your soul. There you're going to find rest. There you're going to find safety. There you're going to find peace. But I thought about how that the Bible said Noah just reached forth his hand. So many times God's done that for me. When I've committed foolish sins or got away from Him, so many times I went as far as I could. And about the time you get ready to drop, that dove flew as far as she could. And she saw the ark in sight and thought, maybe if I can just make it there, maybe I can find refuge. It's been my home for a year now. And maybe I can find refuge there in the ark. But I don't think she could have made it on her own. And neither can you. It took Noah stretching forth his hand and bringing her back into that ark. My friend, I'm glad to serve a God like that. And Noah didn't forget about that dove, and God didn't forget about you. But I thought about it another way. The second time, the Bible says He sent forth the dove after 7 days, and she returned this time with an olive branch plucked off. And that's where Easter really comes in. You see, the dove is a symbol of peace. And the olive branch has become a symbol of peace. I thought about how that it wasn't God that sinned against man, but it was man that sinned against God. But yet it was God that brought the olive branch down 2,000 years ago. I love Christmas. I love the story of the incarnation. I love to read and to think about God becoming a man. But I love Easter more because God could have become a man as He did. He could have lived as He did. He could have got to the cross as He did. And He could have chose not to do that. And He would have been justified in refusing that and condemning us all. But because He loved us, He went to the cross. That was the olive branch that was stretched forth to mankind. That was the dove coming to Noah and saying, I know that you thought God had forgotten you. For thousands of years, Israel waited for the Messiah, the Christos, the Christ that should come, the Son of God, Emmanuel, Isaiah said, God with us, born of a virgin. For hundreds and thousands of years, Moses, if you watched the Ten Commandments last night, it comes on every Saturday before Easter, Moses preached about Christ. He said, when He's come, you're going to recognize Him because He will be like unto me. Out of Egypt, the Bible said, I drew my son. And I'll not get into that, but there are several ways that He was like Moses. But I thought about that was the real olive branch, wasn't it? When that dove came back and no one knew that God hadn't forgot him, that there was drying going on in the earth, that little olive branch, it made note that no one knew that the trees were starting to show. And I thought about how 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ came on the scene, but even back before that, I don't know if you ever thought about it like this, but when he was in heaven and that tree that began to grow one day, and as he watched that tree begin to grow, I believe with all my heart he knew it would be the tree that would one day be fashioned into the cross on which he would hang and die. Now God has power over nature, and God allowed that tree to grow, and knowing the whole time when he gets big enough, it's going to be hewn down, it's going to be fashioned into a cross, and there I'm going to go and give my life. It was foreordained, the Bible said, from the beginning of the world that the olive branch should come, and then the fullness of time did come, and he was born of a woman, born under the curse, that he might bear the curse of the law. But I thought about, and I'm going to try to hurry, but I thought about as he watched that tree grow, he knew the time was soon here that he had come down to this earth, and so he did. And for 33 years he walked among us, walked among men, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh, the Word of God, John said. He said, I've laid my eyes upon, and I've seen, and my hands have handled, and I've touched the Word of life. I can't imagine what that must have been like. There must have been times John wanted to get so close to him. Sometimes you ever get like that? I mean, just want to snug up real close to the Lord. John did it. When they were eating supper, John, the Bible said, leaned upon his bosom and felt the heartbeat of the Son of God. Can you really imagine that? There's been times I've went through dry spells and dry seasons, and I've just longed to be like John. Just let me, Lord, lay my head on your breast. I want to feel your heartbeat. God was a man. And John laid his head on his breast and felt the heartbeat. And wasn't it good? Ain't it good those times that you're so close, you can just feel His presence. You can feel the very heartbeat. You can feel the very blood. He is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. There are times you can get so close that you can just feel Him. But I thought about how that olive branch was stretched out 2,000 years ago, and they took Him to the cross and they hanged Him there. For every lash that He took, I thought about how horrified the disciples must have been. I thought about poor Peter. Peter was one like me sometimes, that sometimes you say things on impulse. And I believe Peter meant what he said when he said, I'll die with you and I'll not deny you. But Peter got out like the dove. He denied the Lord three times. He even cursed and said, I don't know who this man Christ Jesus is. So what did it take to bring Peter back? Peter couldn't find any rest in that. But right before the Lord was taken and scourged and beaten, the Bible says the Lord looked at Peter and their eyes connected. I'll say this. If you're here today and you're saved and you're living apart and outside of the grace of God and outside of the will of God, all it's going to take is one look to the Savior. And when you lock eyes with Him, you'll do what Peter did. You'll go out and you'll weep bitterly. And you will. How do you know that, preacher? Because I've been there. And I've done that. And all it took was one look. One look. And I went out and remembered all that God has done for me. But I thought about how every stripe that He took, by His stripes we are healed. Every stripe that He took, as the disciples, as I mentioned a while ago, they saw His bloody frame. They saw Him hanging there, and they knew He was a dead man. I thought about the horror that flooded their soul. This was the one they put all their hope in, and now He was dead. He didn't theoretically die. He died. He really died. Just as all the billions that had died before Him and since Him, He died. He went down into the very halls of death itself. He went down as dead as dead could be. He was dead. But He said, Father, it's into Thy hands. I commend my spirit, trusting that in 3 days' time he would be raised from the dead and walk in a newness of life. When word got out from Mary and Martha, as Tim and Tyler sang a while ago, that he's arisen from the dead, they got to the grave early that morning, and the angel met him and said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here." Jesus had tried to prepare them for that, but it was hidden from their eyes. They didn't understand anything that he was trying to tell them. He told them, "The Son of Man must suffer, and must suffer, but 3 days he will rise from the dead." Don't you suppose Mary Magdalene and Peter were probably the two that most wanted to see him? And besides his own mother, of course, don't you imagine? There's a song that came out in the Passion of the Christ called "New Again." And then that's a conversation between the mother of Jesus and Jesus. And I don't know if that conversation happened, but I like to believe it did. But he told them, "No doubt, no matter what your eyes tell you, that this is not the end of me. I'm going to make all things new." Aren't you glad of that? When he told the disciples, "Because I live, you shall live also." I want you to get a hold of that today. I live, you live. Without him raising from the dead, Christmas would really mean nothing to me. Without the cross, Christmas would really mean nothing to me. I'd still be glad that he came and lived among men, but it wouldn't give you any hope. That's what that raven was. That raven was representative, I believe, of the law of God. There was no hope in that. It didn't bring back any good news. It couldn't bring back. All it did was feed on the dead carcasses of that he found floating, and he just went to and fro. The law is good and holy and just. It lets men know that we're sinners and that we need a Savior. But the law, your works, your good deeds, there's no comfort in that. There's no grace in that. There's no hope in that. All the law can do is condemn you. And so that was the black raven. That was what didn't bring any good news. How can the law bring good news? All it says is, "Thou shalt not." And if you do, you're under penalty of death. That's what the law is. And there's no grace in the law. But it does let us know that we are sinners. That's the point of the commandments and the law. That's the point. That's what the law was. It does what it's intended to do as a schoolmaster. It brings us to the realization that we're lost and separated from God under the penalty of death. And in those days, the Bible said God was angry with the wicked every day. That's what the law, that's what the raven was. But that dove that brought forth the olive branch, that's the good news of the gospel. That's the gospel that brings good news, that God is no longer angry with the wicked every day. As a matter of fact, the Father has excused Himself from judgment and committed all judgment unto the Son. And whosoever believeth in Him shall never die. Amen. That's the good news. That's the olive branch. That's what that dove, that pure white dove, when it came back and Noah saw it, it had an olive branch. That, my friend, is the good news of the gospel, that the Lord Jesus Christ died, that you can live. I live, you live. So I thought about how, when word came, Mary Magdalene, I think, was the first to spot him and first to see him and understand who it was. And all it took was one name. When he said Mary, that's all it took. Mary, just one word. She thought he was a gardener as she was there talking to the Lord. Some people today are so close to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's so nearby you, you have no idea he's even there. And that's the way it was. If you're here today and you're lost, you have no idea. The Spirit has been here this morning. You have no idea how near the Son of God is to you right now. Have no idea. Now, if He's awakened your conscience by the "Thou shalt not" of the law, and you realize you're lost, you realize you need to be saved, He doesn't ask you to do anything hard. All He asks you to do is believe on Him that God has sent. Repentance and faith. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a simple doctrine, really. Men down through the years have tried to theorize it and make. That's what happened in the New Testament in Galatians. Paul said, "You started off well. Who did hinder you?" Men have tried to put works into it. Men have tried to put everything into it. But the simple truth is, it's believing on Him. Whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Repentance and faith. That's the requirements for salvation. Repentance and faith. I want to tell you the good news of that dove. The good news of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ came. He didn't come to make you rich. He didn't come to give you a life without trouble. He died to set you free from the law of sin and death, because on that third and glorious day, He opened up His eyes, went out, and Mary talked to Him, said, "Sir, you're the gardener. Just tell me where you've laid Him." And all He said was, "Mary." And that's all it took. She said, "Master, that's really you." I mean, when the Lord speaks your name, He'll speak it like nobody else speaks your name. Just one word is all it took. And Mary believed. She went back. I wish I could tell you the apostles were in a revival. I wish I could tell you they were meeting together in some kind of revival. But the truth of the matter is, they were out fishing and scattered about. And Mary came and she said, "I've seen the Lord. He's not dead, He's risen." Amen. And they believed her not. Those were the apostles, the chosen, the ones that had walked with Him. They believed her. They probably thought those seven demons that He had cast out had came back, because they saw the bloody body and they saw Him buried. But then He came. Boy, I'm so glad He came to where they was at. He came to where I was at one night. He comes to you before you can ever make your journey to Him. I thought about the woman at the well this morning, and I'm done. But I was reading that story, and he said, "If you'd only known who it was that talked with you, you would have asked of me, and I would have given you living water." And she said, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with." And I thought when I read that this morning, my goodness, He did have something to draw with. He said, "I will draw all men unto me." And so to be saved, you have to be drawn. You can't just, it's not just a matter of flipping a switch in your mind. You have to be drawn. You have to be drawn down to a place of repentance and faith. And I can't draw you, and nobody else can draw you. We may have good intentions, but it has to come through the Holy Ghost. And He'll draw you to the realization that you're lost without God, and that you need to be saved. And there's no special formula. There's no special prayer. No matter what some might say, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. The truth is, I have no idea what I said. I don't even know if I said anything out loud. But when my heart got right, He saved my soul. And because of that, I will never die. I'm telling you, that dove that bore the olive branch, boy, he brought good news to Noah. Noah realized, the Bible said Noah took the covering off the ark and he saw that olive branch and he knew that he would soon be out. And you know what happened? If you read on, a little time passed and God said, "Noah, now it's time. Now you leave the ark." He didn't go in till God told him to go in, and he didn't go out till God told him to go out. I wasn't born into this world until 1977, because that was the time God willed that I should be born. And I won't leave this world until God says it's time to leave this world. But that day will come. And I'm glad I'll listen for the voice of that same Jesus that'll just say, "Come unto me." It's time for you to step out of life just as Noah stepped out of the ark. God said, "Noah, now as long as this earth remains." I've heard people say, the truth of the matter is, people don't know what the Bible says anymore.
Amen.
Amen. They really don't. It's a sad commentary on the state of the church. I've heard people tell me time and time again, when we go through cold snaps like we've had Redbud Winter, and they'll say, "Preacher, don't the Bible say..." Before the end comes, you won't be able to tell the seasons one from another. I know that's what it says because that's what I've heard all my life. The truth of the matter is, God told Noah quite the opposite. He said, as long as the earth remaineth, there'll always be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter. It'll never fail. That's what the Bible says.
Yes.
But people don't know that. They think because they've heard, listen, don't you ever take my word for anything. You look it up. You look it up for yourself. But that call will come from that same Jesus that called Noah out of the ark. The call's going to come to me, and it's going to come to you, that it's time to leave planet Earth, and you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. If you believe, you cannot go to hell. If you believe, you are not condemned. If you believe not, you are condemned already because you have not believed in the Son of God. That's a simple faith that a child can understand. But that's all I've got for you today. I'm glad for that dove. On the wings of that dove, good news came. Not like the raven. The raven had nothing but bad news. He found places in the muck and the mud. The raven's fine with that. Men of the world are fine living in the filth of this world. But the dove is a different creature. The Christian is a different creature. You'll never find comfort in this world. If you're that, I wouldn't dare tell anybody, yes, you've been saved. That's between you and God. But I'll say this. That's a pretty good litmus test. That's a pretty good litmus test. If you can find comfort in the things of this world, if you can love anything in this world more than you love the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd say you're not one of His. If you cannot find refuge, if you say, God, you can have everything, I've just got to get to you. That's a pretty good litmus test. That's my message this morning. If you want to come, let's have a song together. God bless you.